You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, we share the stories, the expertise and the knowledge of business leaders, large and small, with you, the listener, and this week is going to be no different. On today's show, we're talking about finance for business in Oxfordshire, and to do that, we're joined by Sam Jones of Satellite Finance. We're joined by Amanda Fisher of AJF Taxation, and we're joined by James Roswell of Metro Bank. We really look forward to introducing our three guests after this. Get Radio. Welcome back. This is Get Radio and this is the Business Brunch. This week's show, we are talking all about finance for business in Oxfordshire. So make sure you've got your notepads ready because I'm sure there's going to be lots of practical tips and insights over the next hour. So let's start by introducing our three guests. So let's start with Sam Jones. Welcome.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for joining us. So for those who don't know you, tell them all about Sam Jones and indeed Satellite Finance.
So I'm a finance broker. I'm based in Witney, Oxfordshire. Have been for a very long time now. And I help clients raise funds for their businesses. That's debt-based finance. And that could be anywhere from loans, invoice finance, asset finance, and commercial property. And that's there to help with cash flow pinches or if they're looking to grow their business. So if there's a finance problem or an opportunity that they need funding for, then I'm the person to speak to.
Amazing. And secondly, Amanda, welcome.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me too.
Hey, thanks for joining. So for those who don't know you, tell them all about Amanda and indeed AJF Taxation.
Yes. Yeah, so thank you for that. I have been a tax consultant for about the last 25 to 30 years. And part of that has been lecturing on the CPD circuit to qualified accountants and the like on taxation. And so in creating AJF Taxation as a practice, an accounting practice, we are very much focused on tax efficiency. We put our arms around the businesses that we look after. We do everything, you know, that one would expect from an accountancy firm, but we focus on that tax efficiency, look after the businesses, you know, do connecting like this, with the view to helping businesses to grow.
Amazing. And last but certainly not least, James, for those who, again, don't know you, tell them all about yourself and indeed Metro Bank.
Thanks, Ben. So Metro Bank, as it says, is a high street bank, the first one founded for over 100 years. And we focus on the individuals behind the business. So we're a full service bank, all the way from your very first business bank account you're just setting up through to your commercial and corporate accounts. But we're there at every stage, regardless of shape, size, that business will have a dedicated relationship manager to help them through the day-to-day transactions, support growth, working with people like Sam and Amanda, where they need that funding and putting that funding in place to help grow through loans, asset finance, invoice finance, and just generally being there to offer a banking take on business, really.
Amazing, amazing. And really look forward to building on that a lot more over the next hour. But before that, one of the most difficult questions that's going to happen this morning is a song choice. It's real pressure, isn't it, picking a song on the radio. So James, firstly, you have kindly chosen a song for our listeners. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
Oh, good question, man. It's I Ain't Worried by One Republic. I must admit, we watched the Top Gun Maverick film a few times and it is a feel-good summer song. And since this week is starting to get a bit warm, feels like it's an appropriate song for this time of year.
Oxfordshire Station,
Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch. This is Get Radio. Before that, a very fitting song chosen by James. We've heard from our three experts, Sam, Amanda and James, about their businesses. And really, today we're going to be talking about the world of finance and as the Oxfordshire business owner, things that you may want to consider. So let's start the roundtable discussion. And I'm going to start with yourself, Sam, if that's okay, with quite a big, broad question. Apologies. What is the state of finance here in Oxfordshire and further beyond?
Wow. Okay, let's go for the big one. It's interesting. We're in a little bit of a bubble in Oxfordshire and Thames Valley and beyond, really. Finance-wise, tend to do quite strongly, regardless of the economic situation across the whole country. We've got a lot of thriving businesses. But that's not to say there aren't some who are struggling, depending on the industry they're in. So there is money around. There's a lot of growth, I think, with a lot of our businesses. You've obviously got a lot of the tech spin outs in from the university, who get a lot of investment and then drive a lot of growth. And then the spin off of that is that the supporting businesses and supplier networks within the county feed from that quite well. So I think financially, I think that the county as a business network is in a good place. It doesn't make my job any easier because they don't all need money, but we're there for when they do.
Oh, amazing. No, really, really good start. And Amanda, let's move on to tax. It's the right thing to talk about. I think that with businesses doing well, as Sam touched on, in most cases, you will need to pay more tax. And I think one of the big things that I've heard whilst doing this show and through networking circles is a lot of businesses don't know how much tax they're likely to need to pay or don't know how to plan for tax. So what's your advice under that umbrella? And what do you see, I guess, based on my perception there?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, actually, Ben, because tax, it comes at a business at many different angles. So, and you're right, if a business is doing well, then we would expect to pay more tax. Now, that's why, obviously, with the DNA of myself being a tax advisor and, educating the firm, educating that team to come at that business with the tax efficiency, that's number one key. So if we can reduce the tax liabilities, great, all above board, of course. But it's also about looking to the future. It's not just being reactive. Now, I don't know how much you're happy for me to go into some detail here, but you've asked me, what can we be thinking of? So if we get notice, if we're doing our business records, our accounts, very proactively, if we're keeping the bookkeeping, let's say our reporting really up to date, then can you see immediately that's going to give us time, cash flow? We're going to know those liabilities a lot, lot sooner. So one can then make decisions and prepare for those outgoings. So that's got to be number one key. It's keeping things really proactively up to date on a real-time basis. And then you get more notice for the tax liabilities that are there. And then you can plan for the payment of those. So, that's just on the compliance point of view. Sometimes, as Sam has seen, he may need to come in, gain funding to pay those tax liabilities. And that's probably one of the worst. That's not an ideal. That's the worst case scenario.
Absolutely. I think a big theme that's really coming out is the word planning. And I think that I know James Metro have got a great reputation for being that communicative bank and for having those conversations. How important is it that your clients or clients listening are constantly talking to their bank? And what does a Metro bank relationship typically look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think people have a tendency sometimes to only speak to their bank when it's the very last resort. Mm. And actually, that's sometimes the worst thing you can do, taking your bank along that journey with you for both positive growth or perhaps when things are getting challenging is a really, really key important part. And that's where Metro like to step in and have that regular touch point with its clients, making sure that we understand where they want to go, not just in the next kind of 6 months, but in 12, 24, 36 months, and having that plan. Because a lot of time it does take a business a few months, up to a year or so, to get the business in the right position to take that next step. I think the other part of is we're in an environment where actually things like savings rates are higher than they've probably been for the last 10, 15 years. So actually, where people before have maybe just left the money in their current account, can we actually be looking at a savings account? So you're getting a return back on that interest. You know, all of that money helps go into it. Likewise, debt that you may have taken out during COVID times or before then could have increased on a variable rate to be a higher interest rate now. Is there something your bank can do to reduce that interest rate or put you onto a fixed term so you've got consistent payments over, you know, 5 years, and your forecast and your planning can be in a much stronger position than before? So, you know, it's always really good to have that dialogue with your bank, like you would with your accountant, like you would with any solicitors or anything. It's a key part of being able to run that business. And it just helps things smoothly that when you need to go to speak to them, it's not a first-time relationship. The bank or your individual relationship manager understands the business, how they can add support and really give back to your business and get it pointed in the right direction. And that may be actually, you know, this isn't for us, but someone like Sam would be able to put you in the direction of finance that you need. Or, you know, there's a lot of kind of complexities around tax, and Amanda can guide you and structure it in a more important way. That's probably kind of a really key reason to be in touch with your bank.
Absolutely. I think whenever I mention this person's name, I think finance people often look quite scared. So apologies. I promise I'm not going to say anything bad here. But I think one of the things that Martin Lewis says a lot about personal finance is never bury your head in the sand and always be transparent, have conversations and plan. And I think that can be extended to business. And I think it's really, really important that if you've got that up-to-date management information and you're having those conversations with the professionals, you are going to be the only winner as a result. Sorry, I got Martin Lewis's name in into a finance show. So Sam, I just want to bring that conversation to you, because I think James made a really good point in terms of that kind of planning and those early conversations. And I'm going to ask you a broad question again. When is the right time to get finance? Does the finance come long before you need it? Should you be leaving it to last minute? Should you be doing something in the middle? There may not be a one size fits all, but when's the right time to start thinking about the finance? When's the right time to talk to you? And what are, I guess, the questions you should ask yourself before you say, yes, I want X finance?
Yeah, good question, Ben. Another broad one for me. I could say it depends. It depends on what you're needing the funds for. You know, if it's a reactive finance that you've got a short-term pinch or something in front of you that you need to deal with, then, you know, that's as and when, and that can be dealt with. If you're sort of being proactive with it and you're either foreseeing a future hurdle to get across or an opportunity that you want to grow your business, the earlier the better, really. You want to get your ducks in a row so that you're going in from a position of strength. You know, it's always the case, isn't it? When you need the money, you won't get it. And when you don't, everyone's falling over themselves to lend the money to you. So you want to be in as strong position as possible. So, you know, make sure there's cash in the bank, there's no missed payments, everything's up to date with your accounts, you know your management figures, you might have a forecast with you, everything's looking as healthy as possible. And you might come in with a preconceived idea of this is how we want to grow the business, so this is how we're going to fund it. Just pick up the phone, speak to an advisor, you know, speak to a finance broker who knows the market and knows the facilities available. Quite often I have a conversation with clients and they're expecting this route, we'll go get a loan. And actually, once you delve a little deeper into how their business works and the way they want to fund it, there's another facility that might work. So supplier finance might ease up some cash by paying for the stock before you've sold it. You know, there might be a way of doing it with asset finance that hadn't been considered. So really, it's just, speak to somebody who knows their onions and you can make a plan from there to get the best facility that works for you. It's not always the best price. Sometimes some people want it to be flexible. Other people are happy to be locked in to a loan for a period of time. And it's horses for courses. But just have those conversations as early as you can so that you're not making rash decisions when you don't need to.
Absolutely. And Amanda, I'm going to ask you potentially a bit of a tricky question. Apologies, it's your turn now. Now Sam's passed. I know that there's a lot of wild stats published online in terms of the tax that isn't paid or the tax that is overpaid. And I think that without using an expert like yourself, I think it's very, very easy to do it wrong. And I think it'd just be quite interesting for you maybe to share some of the things that you should maybe consider. So for example, with my very uneducated finance view, is like, I know that a lot of business owners don't put their mobile phone through the business, which is tax saving. They don't have their £50 vouchers. Like, what kind of things can you consider as a business owner, which I guess keeps you legal and compliant, which is of course the most important thing, but at the same time is the most tax efficient way of working?
Okay, so Ben, well done for, you know, fishing for a little bit of tax advice here. No, and, you know, it would be wrong of me to do that without, you know, the usual letter of engagement and for us to spend some time looking at your situation. But in answer to the question, and I'm going to just tweak it slightly, because there's been the conversation already that said it's not one size fits all. So if the question is, if somebody wants to consider tax efficiency and have an objective of saving some tax, is it possible? Absolutely. If that's the question, then, you know, let me just give you some pointers, because in every situation, not just businesses, individuals, everything that we do from a business or even a personal point of view that might be quite transactional, there is going to be a tax effect. Ben, do you want me to give you an example?
Absolutely.
To kind of give the listeners a little bit of relevance here. Something that might relate to everybody. Somebody is thinking about whether they should be sole trader, a partnership, or a company. That question leads itself to a whole conversation over who's involved, who the business owners are, what the business is, how they might want to extract some of the funds for remuneration, how they're going to grow. Can you see the structuring of that business, whether there's an incorporation into a company, is going to revolve all about tax. Do you see the cash flows, the tax liabilities, the combination of the taxes between the business and the people is a massive one that gets very much overlooked very often. But also, let me give you another sort of example in terms of something that other people might do. How do we begin to buy an additional property, let's say? Somebody wants to buy an investment, such as a rental property or a commercial property. You know, that structuring needs to be considered. So yes, there's always going to be those rules. How much of my mobile phone can I claim, etc., etc.? And if you've got a good advisor, they will have no hesitation in giving you all of that jazz. But I think fundamentally, if we're to talk about tax and efficiency and how that can really work, it's having a conversation with somebody before you do anything. You see, the conversations are a lot more before that. And there's a lot more to be saving than just a mobile phone bill. You know, if that gives you a bit of confidence.
No, absolutely. No, really, really good insight. Thank you. Amanda, I am going to stay with you now for another tough question, but this question is nothing to do with tax. Similar to James, you have chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
Right. Well, this has been a difficult one. I do love music a lot, but I've chosen to choose a local band, actually, in the area that I know you'll have the track, it's no problem, but they are a local band that I've been following and supporting for quite a few years now. Great talent. The band is called Erica, and the track that I have chosen is the songs, sorry, The Sons of the Highland, and it's just a nice kind of semi-rock. We'll see how you feel.
Interviewing Oxfordshire's business leaders. This is the Business Brunch Podcast, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back. This is the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. I'm following that local song choice by Amanda. We always like to keep it local. We have been speaking with our three experts, Sam Jones, Amanda Fisher, and James Roswell, all about finance here in Oxfordshire and further afield, and some of the things that you can maybe consider. And James, I'm just really keen to bring you into the conversation, because I think sometimes in business, there isn't necessarily a one size fits all. But at the same time, I think that we can learn from successful businesses. And I think that if you were to look at some of the successful businesses that you've worked with, what are the main kind of traits that you see, and what are the best practices that you see that are consistent between a accountancy firm and a tech firm? Like what are those common traits, and what are those good practices that you see?
Yeah. I think, Ben, that there's a kind of a couple of key ones you can say. I think the biggest one is the passion that people have for the business. If the people are passionate behind the business, that goes a long way, because they'll put all that effort and their heart and soul. Mm. But also is knowing what your niche is, what your speciality is, what your unique selling point is, and really honing in on that and not trying to be a jack of all trades or expanding too fast, expanding at the right rate that fits for the business. And that goes hand in hand with having good planning, good forecasts, having a clear 12-month, 3-year, 5-year plan to really know where you're going to be at, and to take the time back to sit and reflect on where you are along that. Mm. A lot of the time we see businesses get so heads involved in the day-to-day operation, they forget either they're the business owner or they've kind of created that idea. And actually they've drifted a little bit from where they wanted to be, or perhaps it's not giving them back what they really wanted it from the business. So taking that time to say, I'm going to step away from the business for, you know, half a day, whatever it is you need to have, really reevaluate your plan, speak to maybe your accountant, your advisor, your business coach, whoever it is you're working with, even sometimes just a partner or a friend, to kind of get it out in the air, talk it through. You'll get advice from all the kind of random places that you would never have expected from it. It may be, you know, a passing conversation or something like that. And really taking that time and adjusting. Don't be afraid to adjust the plan or take into account what's changed in the market. Metro, as an example, is, you know, we started in 2010. The environment around banking was very, very different to what it is 14 years later. 14 years ago, no one had really ever heard of opening an account online. Mm. Now, actually, that's a really core product. So we've had to adapt as we've gone through. And I think that's what makes the difference in businesses, is being there and having that view. The other key bit is fully understanding your cost basis, where your income's coming from. There's quite a nice saying of turnover is vanity, profit is sanity, but cash is king. And really understanding that you've got the money in the bank to pay this, or actually I'm going to be short in 7 months' time. So let's talk to someone like Sam or your bank or whoever it may be, so that we cover that problem and we work through it, or how we smooth the cash flow through. And it just takes away those stresses and those strains, really. So that's kind of the key things we're seeing. As Sam was saying, the business community in Oxford seems to be really resilient, and probably for the first time in 4 or 5 years, there seems to be a bit of clearer seas ahead almost. We've come out of COVID, some of the energy price hikes that have really obviously impacted it. It does seem to be there's a bit of clear space ahead. Obviously, you know, there's a few challenges and changes potentially this year that are coming, but we're seeing businesses start to invest in growing and going for the future, and having the right people alongside you, be that employees or partners that you're working with, it is a really key thing.
Absolutely. Really, really good insight there. Thank you, James. And Sam, I think James almost set you up there really, really nicely, actually, in terms of that there is that opportunity to invest now. There is that opportunity to grow. There is, I guess, almost more certainty in the market. And I think us business owners often look for opportunities. And I think that I'm quite keen to understand how one would think about financing opportunities, and really, is there the appetite with lenders for a, I don't know, let's pick on me, a recruitment business to go and get financed to buy another recruitment business? Like, it does is there that kind of opportunity? What are lenders' typical appetite? And I appreciate it will depend on the individual. I totally get that disclaimer.
Yeah, no, thanks, James, and good question, Ben. Yeah, there's definitely appetite. So we saw 2008, the banking crisis, that there wasn't, you know, the banks weren't lending, there wasn't the money to do it. In the recent times, there is the money to lend, lenders want to do it. Money's just costing more these days, but they want to get out. If the lenders don't lend money, they're not making any money, and that's their raison d'etre. So yeah, there's a definite appetite. So yeah, Ben, if you were to buy another recruitment business, we'd have a look at which one you're buying, what their figures are like, what your figures are like, get our teeth into the deal and figure out what's the best structure. You know, can you afford to do it just on a loan over 5 or 6 years? Or, you know, recruitment industry is ripe for invoice finance. So why not use the money that's already there in the business to help fund it? There's a definite appetite for investment, particularly businesses that are coming in with a clear plan about how they want to grow and what they want to do it. You know, asset finance, that's always on the table. You know, there's all sorts of opportunities. Now, I've dealt with a recent company who's exporting an awful lot to the States. And, you know, they needed to keep up with their stock payments. How do we do that? It wasn't the easiest, but effectively you've got a lender to buy the stock for them, which gives them the funds to get enough in so they can ship it out faster than or keep up with the demand that they have, which they couldn't beforehand. So it's very much just a case of looking at what the requirement is. But there are so many different types of facilities and structures. A lot you can get through the bank with James. Others you might see some alternative finance for, or you might want to spread your risk, if you like. You don't want to have all your eggs in one lending basket. So yeah, there are so many facilities and structures of funding things like acquisitions or stock purchases, etc., or general growth plans that really, yeah, just get some advice, speak to somebody, and make a plan with it.
Oh, amazing. Amanda, I feel like I've asked you some quite tough questions so far, so I'm going to give you an easier question now. You'll be pleased. And actually, I think that it'd be really interesting from your perspective to actually ask a very similar one to the one that I asked to James, if that's okay, which is around what are the common traits that you see within really successful businesses? What I guess are the common things that are good practice that we should all consider, I guess?
Yeah, thanks for that. I was hoping I would have a question something like that, especially after Sam has just said, you know, the reasons why he might be offering some finance, and James likewise as well. So I'm hoping I'm answering the question as well. I think maybe I could give some reasons as to why and when the businesses that we deal with require that finance, and maybe expand on that. So as Sam was saying, as James was saying, there are many reasons why a business would need the financing. So I touched on it a little bit subtly before, but where we see the business needing the financing on a reactive basis, such as the business records haven't been, you know, that real-time basis, not so proactive or up to date, and there's not much time for planning. When a business is needing finance for those reasons, then that is actually where we see a business. Well, hopefully we don't see too much of that, because we tend to be very proactive and we encourage the business to be a little bit more up to date. But if a business is seen to be in that situation, can you see that actually just needing finance is not looking so good? Mm-hmm. Because you question whether you're just in a business that's struggling in some way, and then you wonder if that's going to improve. You start to get financing that can affect your outgoings, that will affect your pricing, and there's a tendency that if we're not careful, that can end up being a bit of a snowball. Now, that is a little bit of an over-exaggeration, because most of the time, just by needing some financing, doing the number crunching, you kind of get the opportunity to reevaluate that business anyway. So that can only be a positive thing. What we like to see more is, let's get the numbers rolling. Let's get the numbers crunching regularly. Let's get a regular input. Let's make sure that all the fundamentals are right. You know, you've got some income, you're keeping your expenses appropriate, and you're making some profit. And then, because we're in a planning opportunity, and then we can look at growth, that's when the financing really becomes a lot more effective. It might be for staff, it might be for assets, as Sam has said. It might be for a relocation, or just to take somebody into a growth period. You know, smaller businesses, those smaller businesses that will be listening in now, you know, that fundamental question for many, which is, oh, I'm trying to keep under the VAT threshold. I mean, that's quite common with small businesses. Mm. And we say, don't restrict your growth. Get over that hurdle. Grow. And sometimes that's a really good reason for some temporary financing. Other ones, of course, you know, small businesses, medium businesses, growing businesses. Very often you can't grow without the financing. So, you know, it's needed.
Absolutely.
I think as well put, Amanda, and from what James is saying, but yeah, the ideal client is one who doesn't need the finance, but wants the finance. Mm. You know, they want it because they can. They don't need it because they have to.
Yeah. And if they need it from a positive angle, that's a really good opportunity to approach then the business numbers a little bit more frequently, because there's so many other things that you can do in the network. You know, look at your pricing, look at your model. You know, as James even started, you know, what is your niche? So there's a lot of outside factors that can be considered too.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Quite a big question again for you, James. I'm really sorry, but I know that that we've spoken quite a lot about pressing that button to grow. And I think that, to be fair, it might be something that Sam and Amanda want to build on as well. Is at what point and what are kind of the considerations that as a business leader or business owner you should be asking yourself before pressing that button to really go for it and really try and scale? And I guess kind of the buy question, which is a bit of a negative one, is at what point should you, and maybe again, a question that Sam and Amanda might like to build on again, is if you are struggling, at what point should you, I guess, press the button to stop, as negative as that sounds?
Yeah, thanks, Ben. I think you sometimes get busy fools in business where they'll start, say, a one-person organisation with a couple of people, and they'll make £50,000 worth of profit, and they'll grow it over 2 to 3 years, and it'll suddenly be, you know, turning over £2 million, and they've got 20 employees. There's a lot more work, but they're still only making £50,000 of profit. Now, it's not always about the profit at the end. It may be, you know, you're really passionate about what you're doing, but it's really key to consider what is it that you want out of, I guess, life as well as the business. Mm. Do you really want to grow something that you're aiming to sell in 10 years to provide you with a comfortable retirement or to move on to the next thing? Is this a lifestyle business that actually covers your needs, but it doesn't take too much stress and allows you to go on holidays or whatever it may be? Or it could also be, you know, you're passing on succession planning, what the next down the family line, and providing security for there. So I think it's really important you understand what your reason is for wanting to grow first before growing. I think the successful businesses are the ones that really understand their purpose and why they're growing, rather than just feeling, oh, I should be a bigger business for the sake of it, that comes through. And I think the flip side works the other way as well, is if you get to a stage where when you're doing your forecasting or when you're doing your cash flow analysis, the numbers just aren't making sense to keep adding restaurants, pubs, hotel, whatever it may be. At that point, it's probably time to have a real good hard look and say, what in the business is working? What's being profitable? What's not being profitable? What are we losing money on? And almost being a bit ruthless and saying, okay, right, we need to rid ourselves of that asset. We'll take the cash that we can get from it, or we'll stop doing that service and, you know, we'll invest the people and the time into our core aspect. And using both of those to say, we've drifted too far away, let's get back to what we were core doing and what we were good at, reset and carry on again. I think every successful business person has had at least one knockback. The really successful ones, you talk to your Richard Bransons, your Alan Sugars and stuff, that they've all had numerous setbacks all the way through. And it's the learnings they've taken or the backward steps they've taken, they've learned from that, and they'll use that when they next go forwards again, really. It's probably the kind of the two areas we see around it. But I think having that understanding of why you're growing, or when it gets to a point of, right, this isn't what I wanted it to be, is a really tough question to have with yourself. But at the same time, could be the difference between carrying on in something that's not making the life you want and having that stress and that pressure. Because the other thing to remember is as a business owner, there are other people's potential livelihoods that rely on your decisions and what you do, and you've got an obligation to them to make sure you're putting the best business together, both from a workplace environment as well as a being able to afford their salaries and making sure they're paid on time. So there are a few key considerations, but I think that as the theme of this has been all the way through, is talk to a professional, talk to somebody that really understands it, maybe your other half or your partner, or just don't leave it until it's too late. The earlier you engage with somebody, be that an accountant, finance, whatever it may be, the better chances it is that it's not going to snowball into something that's unmanageable.
Absolutely. Really, really good advice. Thank you. Let's go to a song before the final section. And Sam, it's your chance. You thought you had got away with it there. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
So my song choice is Three Little Birds by Bob Marley. It's quite a personal song for me and my wife. When we had our first baby in our first flat and times were a little bit hard, we used to listen to that. And it's just a reminder that, you know, things can be tough, but actually they'll get better. Just stick with it. A bit like your business, you know, just know where you want to be. Keep getting to there and it'll be good.
The Business Brunch Podcast with Ben Thompson, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back. This is the Business Brunch on Get Radio. Really, really good insight we've had from our three experts today. And what I think my bigger piece of advice that I'd really, really encourage is really reflect on what's been said. Listen back. I think that in my strong opinion is having strong finance behind your business is absolutely, if not the most important thing, certainly up there. So certainly, thank you for my three experts. We are kind of getting towards the latter stint of the show. And I think that although the three of you have done this throughout the show, e.g. giving lots of top tips and lots of advice, I think one of the things I would really like to kind of do as this final section is really to kind of go to each of you. And whether it's be things that we've already touched on already, so just drawing attention or highlighting a point that's already been made, or whether it be things that I've not asked and fresh points. I guess to give those takeaway tips, I'm going to start with you, Sam. What's your, I guess, kind of your takeaway tip, or if you could give one piece of advice to the Oxfordshire business listening, what would that be?
That would be, you've got your plan. It doesn't matter about the time scales. You've got to have the direction or where you want to be. And every time you come to a decision about your business, ask yourself, does that help me get to where I want to be? And it might accelerate your plans, it might slow them down. But as long as you're going in that direction of travel, you can be adaptable to whatever hurdles there might be or opportunities that present themselves. But just constantly ask yourself, does that get me to where we want to be?
Amazing. Great advice. Amanda, what about yourself? What would be your top tip?
Oh, my top, how can I choose? Oh, I don't know. Can I just say generally what perhaps my top tip advice would be? If you're a local, if you're a business owner and you're looking to grow and, you know, you're doing reasonably well and you think that things could be better, that point about the margins, you know, don't automatically think that because you go bigger, that's going to mean more. I think homing in on what James said is really, really key there. You need the plan, because if you say get more income or turnover, I should say, but then you need a few extra staff, then that is absolutely going to affect the numbers. And so therefore, looking forward into the plan and doing those forecasts, I think that's number one, doing the forecast to show you what the numbers could be will give the business owner that decision making on whether that path is the right thing. And then if I'm to pinpoint down on sort of my absolute tip, which I think I wish I could have told myself a few years ago, is be as passionate as you will about your business and your business growth, but do not think that you can do all of this yourself. Because maybe some of that financing could be used in gaining that help that you think you can't necessarily afford. But the more help you have, mentoring or the staff that you think you can't afford to free you up to do more of the growth, that growth can only really come when you invest appropriately, in my view.
Absolutely. No, really good advice. But last, but definitely not least, James, what is your closing tip to end the show?
I was a little worried when Amanda started on the people bit at the end, but it's making sure that you've got the right people around you, be that people you're working with, the support, the accountant and stuff. Have people that want to be on that journey with you. You know, if it is your accountant's not buying in or not understanding what you're wanting to do, are they the right fit for your business? If there's people that you're employing and they're not bought in the way you want them to be, and they're not living the brand values or the ethos of your company, are they the right fit that you want out in the marketplace representing you? And what is that next step for you? As you become a business owner and grow the business, as Amanda said, you can't do everything yourself. You need to be that overviewer. So what's the right time to bring in somebody that looks after the finances or somebody that manages, you know, the sales team or however it may be, but make sure those people are the right people for the business that really get it and are living your values as well. Because essentially the biggest brand, the biggest marketing piece you've got is those individuals that are out working under your name as part of your business.
Absolutely. Wow, what a way to end the show. Brilliantly put, and great advice from the three of you throughout. So thank you so much for that. But unfortunately, that is the end of the show. I can't believe how quickly we flew through an hour. So thank you to the three experts for that. It's been really, really great show. We are going to be back next week with some brand new guests. And next week, we are going to be talking about how Oxfordshire businesses can collaborate to encourage customers visiting from further afield. So a really, really interesting one for businesses in Oxfordshire who are looking to do business with businesses outside Oxfordshire. And to do that, we are going to be joined by a panel headed up by Hayley Beergamage of Experience Oxfordshire. So I'm sure that'll be a great one. Finally, just a reminder, you can listen to this show every Sunday at 11 a.m, both on the radio and online. There is also a podcast format, which is available via all your favourite podcast platforms and is released on the Monday morning. And do look out for the video format as well, which is available on the Get Radio Facebook page and the website every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing in Oxfordshire, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I'll see you next week, and make sure you reflect on the show because it's been some really great tips. Thank you so much.